Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, formerly known as Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Welcome to the third year of this show as we change the name to Eyes on Success. This week, we'll be talking about using speech recognition in conjunction with your adaptive software on your PC.
We'll be talking specifically about JSAY and Magnetalk, which respectively combine drag and dictate with either JAWS or Zoom Text to allow for speech-activated navigation and control while also using a screen reader or magnifier. And we'll be talking with Ed Rosenthal from Next Generation Technologies. And this is part one of a two-part mini-series. Next week, Ed will be demonstrating these. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, welcome to the first episode of Eyes on Success, formerly known as Viewpoints.
And after 2 years of doing the show, we changed the name from Viewpoints to Eyes on Success because we thought the new name is, first of all, more reflective of what the show is about, and also it's a little bit more upbeat.
Because basically, all of these shows are about successes, whether it's how to succeed at using a computer using adaptive technology, or somebody's personal story of scaling mountains or canoeing through the jungle. Every show is about a success.
And we already have a bunch of shows already lined up for 2013 that I think you'll enjoy, including an interview with people from the National Library Service, interviews with people to see how the visually impaired fare in countries outside the U.S., an interview with the lead developer from Nuance in terms of making new speech synthesizers, and more.
So let's get on with the first show of the new season. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Ed Rosenthal. Can you start by introducing yourself?
Sure. My name is Ed Rosenthal. I'm president and CEO of Next Generation Technologies Incorporated.
And you're fully sighted, right?
That's correct.
How did you get into selling adaptive products?
Back in the late 80s and early 1990s, I was actually in a different industry. I was in financial services, and I decided I wanted to move into the technology industry. And I did research in the various areas of technology that seemed like they were up and coming. And that's when I discovered speech recognition technology. And when our company started, we were focused primarily on speech input technologies. I became the president and CEO in 1998. And at that point, I decided we should expand our assistive technology offerings. And I happened to run into a gentleman who was looking to build a prototype that would link Dragon Naturally Speaking with JAWS for Windows. And he and I actually partnered back in the late 90s to bring a product called Jawbone to market, which was the first integration of Dragon and JAWS. And that really led me into working with people who are low vision or visually impaired. And at this point, we work with kind of a broad range of technologies, often integrating speech input into the assistive technologies.
And can you talk a little bit about the other products and services that your company is involved in?
Our pedigree is speech recognition technology. But we work with blind low vision products like Zoom Text and Magic, both magnifiers and display managers. JAWS for Windows is a big product for us in low vision. We work with a lot of recording technologies, little digital handheld recorders, and we try to bring together technology solutions that are integrated so that somebody can actually solve an existing problem with a range of technologies instead of trying to use a one-size-fits-all approach.
And as Nancy mentioned, in this show, we'll talk about some of the pros and cons of speech recognition, what it can and cannot do. And in next week's show, Ed will be demonstrating how speech recognition can be used with your adaptive software in a number of PC applications. And you'll see that this technology has really come a long way in the past 10 years. So if you thought it wasn't successful for you in the past, you might want to give it a second shot.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Well, this week's focus topic is all about JSAY and Magnetalk. And we gave you a little bit of an idea of what these things can do in the introduction. we're going to let Ed describe them more fully. So Pete's been using JAWS for many, many years, and for a while there, I was having sufficient trouble with my carpal tunnel that I was using Dragon. And we used to joke about having JAWS talk to Dragon and see what came out the other end. But this product that you sell, JSay, is actually a merging of the two products. So can you describe it a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. So JSay Pro is now, it's manufactured by a company in the UK called Assistive Technologies, or Aztec Solutions Limited. The product manager is a gentleman by the name of Brian Hartchin, and Simon and Catherine Poole are the directors of the company. We're their North American master distributor. And JSay Pro is not merely integrating Dragon and JAWS, but is really true middleware. When it's installed on a computer with the appropriate versions of Dragon and JAWS, it not only provides integration of those products, but then introduces a host of new features that make hands-free, vision-free computing more practical and easier for folks. Those features would include things like easier selection of text blocks for copying, pasting, or formatting, email contacts that can easily be called up by voice, the ability to go to a folder that's used regularly merely by issuing a voice command, and things like that. JSay Pro is used by a broad range of different users. Generally, people assume that it's used by people who have multiple disabilities that couldn't use a keyboard and mouse in conjunction with a screen reader. We certainly have some users who are very adept keyboardists and are familiar with JAWS, and they find there's a lot of value in using speech recognition technology in conjunction with what they already do on their keyboard. And as somebody that uses the Dragon piece on a regular basis, I will say that several of the product breakthroughs in the last few years have made using speech recognition technology a little bit more practical, in part because it's certainly more accurate as a product, and we spend less time teaching it and or correcting it.
Do you have an idea of what the current accuracy rate is?
Actually, Nuance Communications rates their product in the 99 percentile from an accuracy standpoint, but we really need to look at three different types of accuracy. There's out-of-box generic accuracy, out-of-box specific accuracy, and then ultimate accuracy. And those are different because out-of-box generic accuracy means that the system would understand today is Friday, period, it is raining in Seattle, period. But if I said, later today I will be going to the Tulalip Reservation, it wouldn't understand what a Tulalip is out of box, and we can teach our system the things it needs to learn, and that relates to the ultimate accuracy. After we've trained it to what we need, the system should have in the high 90 percentile range. The specific number varies greatly depending on who's using it, how they're using it, and what's being said.
Now, I was a little bit dubious about this product in the first place because, as I mentioned in my question to him, I used to use Dragon. It was over 10 years ago, and at that time, they were claiming maybe 95% accuracy, which sounded fairly impressive until you realize it's a mistake every 20 words or so. And so I found it really frustrating, but on the other hand, it was enabling because my wrists hurt so badly that I couldn't type. So I used it grudgingly. Well, at this point, as you will learn through today's discussion and next week's demonstrations, the accuracy is so much improved that it doesn't sound at all frustrating or unpleasant or, I mean, to me it was psychologically painful as opposed to the physical pain I had in my wrists as the other alternative.
You were quite frustrated with it back in those days.
I was.
The other thing that I think has changed about these systems is that I recall you seemed to had to read 10 to 20 minutes of detailed text in order to train the system to recognize your speech. I don't think that's required these days. There's either a minute or so of training or sometimes even less. So you mentioned some specific innovations the past few years that made this technology and combination of technologies a lot more usable. Can you elucidate on that?
First, just the hardware itself has moved remarkably. Using like the latest Intel Core i7 third generation processor, anything that's close, not only are the processors themselves faster and better at just the type of algorithms we run, but Intel actually hard codes onto their chipset support for speech algorithms. The Windows 7 operating system, now Windows 8, certainly is more stable than early OS that we would install to like a Windows 98, say. And it allows for this handling of multimedia applications layered one upon the other more readily. Freedom Scientific, as you probably know, changed the JAWS off-screen model, and it now uses its own display driver. And that certainly seems to have made JAWS a lot faster, happier with Windows 7, I think. And on the Dragon side, the algorithms themselves have been modified. Nuance has put in additional support for people who have non-standard speech, which we can talk about. And they also moved to the ability for Dragon to actually process more words at a single time, which gives it better context, which helps it make better guesses.
You know, it's interesting. People had great expectations for speech recognition a decade or two ago, and they thought it was going to do wonderful things. And it didn't quite live up to those expectations back then. But it sounds like now with the advances in hardware and software algorithms that speech recognition has finally come into its own, and it can be used quite effectively.
So back in the day when I was using Dragon, I had to go through this training exercise, which was to read page after page after page. Is that no longer required?
That's still present in the product, but it is no longer, quote, required. And when I train my JSAY users, we would skip that part, Nancy, which is called the general training. So you calibrate the microphone in under a minute, and then you skip the general training, so you have a viable profile very quickly. If I were to have somebody whose speech was non-standard, maybe they have a lateral lisp or some slurring as a result of something like cerebral palsy, then we would go through the general training module. That's about 4 minutes of reading. And the JSAY interface makes that viable so that if one has the ability to hit the JSAY key, it just reads the text to them so they can echo it back in. So it's not required. Most users with standard speech should skip it, in my opinion. Where I have non-standard speech, we do that part because that helps Dragon understand that there's something different happening here that it makes it smart at fairly quickly.
And I assume it continues to learn and get better as you use it?
It continues to learn on some intrinsic level. It tends to be fairly neutral unless you use the tools to make your system smarter. And the analogy I always give is it's a little bit like having a puppy. And if the puppy chews on your slippers and you merely take them and move them so he doesn't have them anymore, you've solved the near-term problem. But if you don't say bad dog in conjunction with moving the slippers, you really haven't solved the longer-term problem. And so Dragon can either be edited without teaching it that it was made a mistake, or it can be corrected, which in effect says bad dog Dragon, and it learns from that activity.
Do you have an equivalent of giving it a doggy treat?
No equivalents for doggy treats. Actually, if it performs, I say good dog to it, even though it doesn't know.
So this sounds pretty powerful. Is it fair to say that almost anything a person could do with a keyboard and mouse that someone might be able to do with JSAY and this Dragon and JAWS combination? I mean, what kind of limitations might it have, for example?
That's a good question. You know, so I was going to say, as a general premise to answer your question, I think, yes, there is a voice equivalent for everything that we currently do with our devices, keyboard for our blind, low vision users, and of course, mouse for a sighted user, there's always a voice way to do it. But I think the limitations for JSAY users fall into a couple of categories. First, to really do hands-free, vision-free computing, one needs to have reasonably good memorization skills. And I think this is also true of JAWS keyboardists. You learn a synthetic way of running a computer, and there's no reason that it's insert down arrow, other than that's what they've decided is the convention. When we learn to JSAY compute, the voice command and control of a computer is very cognitively dense. You learn voice commands to open applications, to switch to applications, to move around in a document, to analyze text. So I think it helps if one has good memorization. I think it helps if one understands Windows before they come to JSAY computing. In other words, as a JAWS user, Peter, you have a sense of what the computer does. And if I say, okay, we'll activate your start menu, you have some sense of what a start menu is. But if one has never computed and now they want to start using a computer, as many of our JSAY customers might, it's helpful if somewhere in that whole process we help them understand what Windows is about, because at the end of the day, all of this is operating on a Windows platform. I'll also say people have to have good coping skills, because I find that when we do this type of computing, people may load their computer so much with apps, like they open 8 things at once, and then they issue a voice command that they don't wait for it to go through, and so they do something else. Kind of like in the old days when we used typewriters and they jammed up all the keys.
We remember those.
So I think it's more a when this happens as opposed to if this happens. One needs to just understand, okay, how do I deal with this? Just like any other Windows-based technical issue that might arise when we compute. Again, I find if JAWS stops talking and you're a JSA user, at that point you're very likely to hard boot your system, which, again, Windows is fine with that approach. I think the people who want to look at JSA computing should be aware that first, it's best at word processing and email and any other text-based use of a computer. It's very competent on the web, but as you'll agree, the web is really, to some degree, we're exposed to whoever's designed the code for the web page. And if they've done a nice job, JSA provides a lot of the tools that JAWS would provide by voice. But if you hit a web page that isn't coded well for a screen reader, I don't know that JSA makes the initial encounter better, but we can certainly put in things like bookmarks and other identifiers so the next time, once we've spent all our precious time analyzing a page, we can put things in the page for JSA so the next time we go there will be easier.
Well, and then for users of the JSA system who previously were used to using keystroke equivalents, they can just say, you know, Alt-Tab or Control-C and have that work?
Yes, actually the way they'd say it is press Alt-Tab or press Control-C. But the notable exception currently with the speech engine that we use is that you can't make the insert key sticky. So again, as a JAWS user, you'd appreciate that JAWS uses insert for lots of things. Therefore, you couldn't say press insert down arrow because it can't hold that key down in combination. I will say that the Dragon product is fully scriptable. So if I have a need for somebody to make something happen or to hit keys that Dragon doesn't natively know how to do, I can just write a little script to make it happen. Both Dragon and JAWS, as you probably know, are scriptable, and it's one reason that JSA can be as powerful as it is.
So in essence, what you're saying is Dragon, you essentially can put together kind of macro-type things to tell it to do a specific task that involves a number of subtasks.
That's exactly right.
So I guess that's similar to using any computer. I mean, you can't walk up to a computer without knowing anything about the computer or the applications. And similarly, if you're using JSA with Dragon and JAWS, you have to know, first of all, something about computers, and second of all, you have to learn a little bit about the program and how to use it. So there's no free ride anyplace, but it sounds like this isn't any worse than anything else, and you just have to learn it.
And as with any other program, the more you know about how it works and how to use it, the more you'll be able to do with it.
And a little practice and not getting frustrated will go a long way.
So you keep implying that you're teaching all of your customers. Do you have a whole separate training staff that works with new customers?
That would be nice. You know, we actually have a distribution network for JSA across North America, both in Canada and in America. And we created a distribution network for that specific reason, Nancy. Many people can self-teach an application like this, but my experience is that most users will do better if they can get some type of professional training. So our company, NGT, remote trains clients around the country now on JSA Pro. And we also do some in-person training if we're in the Pacific Northwest or if somebody wants to have us travel to their location. But our distributors are also certified to do training. So it's not unusual that if somebody, let's say, was in upstate New York and they needed training services, if I had a distributor nearby that was qualified, we'd put them in touch with that distributor so they could get professional training services in person.
So you can at least get a new user started. And once they're started, they can sort of build with time and experience as to how they use the product.
That's true. And the people at Aztec and Brian Hartchin and his team have put together a magnificent learning module for this product, which in its print form is about 400 pages, which gives you a sense of how thorough it is. And for anybody who's a little adventurous and patient, they really should be able to teach themselves almost all of the features of this product just by going through the learning module. It's lesson plan driven, and it starts people with a very basic Microsoft Word activity, and then ultimately it takes them through whatever applications they need to learn.
And that comes with the product, I assume?
Yes, that's right.
Now, most of what we've been talking about up until this point has been focused on JSA, which is the middleware between JAWS and Dragon. And what we're going to do now is shift gears a little bit and talk more specifically about MagnaTalk, which is the corresponding middleware between ZoomText and Dragon. However, much of what we've said up until now applies to both. Can you also talk a little bit about your MagnaTalk product?
Yeah, thanks so much for bringing that up. You know, again, our history is such that we've been in the arena of speech technology for a long time, and then we started engaging other areas of assistive technologies. And we came across ZoomText early on. For those of you that don't know it, it's almost on the verge of being a true screen reader, but the intent is that somebody that is a low vision user would use a product like this. And I tend to call it a display management technology, because if we just call it a magnifier reader, I don't think we really address some of its key features, which is it can change contrast and so many other things that people would find helpful. I just did an install yesterday, and I told the person I was training that it's really a toolkit to manage your display. So ZoomText can manage the images on the screen, and it can read things from the screen, much as JAWS could. Many people who use ZoomText or other magnifiers, Magic included, really want to use speech technology because of some of the efficiencies that we just chatted about. And so our company, maybe 10 years ago, it's been around quite a while, built a little product called MagnaTalk. Now, MagnaTalk in its design and objective is different from JSAY. MagnaTalk doesn't introduce any new features that the two products don't have separately, but it makes using the two products together more practical. A good example of this might be the command zoom in 3. So when we work with a screen magnifier, we can change magnification from 1x up to, say, 28x, and I can increase and decrease magnification merely by asking my system to do it. I can change the pointer to something. I can invoke a configuration. What I tell my clients is that MagnaTalk gives you a voice command interface for the ZoomText user interface. In other words, just about every feature of ZoomText can be accessed merely by asking for it. This has lots of advantages, particularly when people work at kind of larger magnifications, because sometimes they can use speech rec, but when they, quote, look at the output, they're only seeing three words of a line that maybe has 20 words on it. Then they can say something like, say current line, and it just gets read to them. One of the big differences between MagnaTalk and JSAY and its soon-to-be cousin called Say Magic, is that they offer what I call dynamic echo. In other words, they will echo immediately upon finishing an utterance if I said it that way, whereas MagnaTalk only gives you text feedback, like speaking of text, if you ask for it. It's a nice, simple product. It's not complicated in and of itself. I always tell people who are interested in using speech recognition with ZoomText, as long as they're getting Dragon Pro, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer. Get MagnaTalk. It's not a real expensive bolt-on, and I think it improves the efficiencies of these two products together quite remarkably.
Well, and sometimes it's good to have an adjunct technology to help out with your tasks. It just gives you some more options. You don't have to use these options, but in some cases they may make your job easier or not. If they don't, you don't use them. If they do, you do. So you also heard Ed talk about a product called Say Magic. This product is being developed now so that speech recognition will be able to work with Freedom Scientific's Magic screen magnifier program, and that should be available by time this show airs or shortly after. That's an interesting product because if you're used to JAWS and you know all the hotkeys for using JAWS, the Magic screen reader made by Freedom Scientific also uses the same hotkeys. So these two programs are pretty consistent. So you might want to keep an eye out for that.
Now for this week's high-tech item, how to learn even more about JSAY and MagnaTalk and how to join their user forums. Now, of course, if you come back next week in show 1302, you can listen to Ed doing demonstrations of how to work with JSAY, and that'll be fabulous. But if you want to get into some of these user forums and distribution lists and get in contact with next generation technology, this will be how to do it.
Well, and it's also very helpful to be able to join these user forums. You know, it's very difficult to learn some of these programs in a vacuum. If you're by yourself and you don't have anyone to ask questions, it can be very frustrating to have to learn a program by trial and error, find out how to use a particular feature, and you can spend a lot of time doing that. On the other hand, if you can just hop on some email forum and ask a question, you know, many people may have solved that problem already, and they can provide you some quick and easy advice. So I think that's a great thing.
Do you know if there are any user group, online forums, or chat rooms for users of this system? I mean, I can't imagine any given user is going to have a neighbor that's also using it that they can confer with.
Aztec Solutions does maintain the JSAY users list. We document that with the materials that go out. We always encourage our users to sign up for the listserv. It's a very nice giving list, very sharing, lots of smart, nice people. And I'll be candid, I sometimes go to that list for information about computing in general, just because the people there are so familiar with computers.
And if somebody wanted to get to that list to ask a couple of questions, they're a little uncertain about whether they want to get involved with JSAY, could you give that address?
Yes, let me give two, actually. So the listserv for the JSAY Pro users is jsay@freelists.org, and JSAY is spelled J-SAY, no spaces on either side, at freelists.org. And if they send an email and just put the word subscribe in the subject field, that's all they have to do, they'll get a reply from the listserv that says they've been enrolled, and then they can post to it anytime they want. They can also get a lot of good information at our website, which is ngtvoice.com. And it's NGT for Next Generation Technology, so ngtvoice.com. Our page has been designed to speak well with a screen reader. If they want to go directly to the JSAY Pro page, they go to the heading for highlighted products and services, and the link for JSAY is in that list, and that will take them to an informational page with a whole bunch of supporting pages as well.
And do you have a phone number?
Yes, our corporate office is 425-744-1100. We have a JSAY support line at extension 17, but my extension is 15, so it's 425-744-1100, extension 15 for Ed Rosenthal.
As you may be able to tell, he's a very friendly guy and he's eager to help. And one other thing, if you're looking for Aztec Assistive Technology Services, that's spelled A-S-T-E-C. And their website is www.astec-at.co.uk.
And as usual, if you've missed any of those links or phone numbers, we'll have all of those in the show notes associated with this show at our website.
And you can find those at our new website that goes along with our new name, www.eyesonsuccess.net. That's it for show 1301. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Ed Rosenthal some more, and he'll be demonstrating many of the features of JSAY to perform true hands-free, eyes-free computing. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, formerly known as Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Eyes on Success. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.